20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. We are being joined by the wonderful Carmi Vitale. You can find her on social media at Carmi V, of course, Fox Sports Radio as well. Carmen, the sky is falling in Green Bay. Things are not going great. There's a lot of panic, nerves, concern, angst, anxiety, frustration, all of the above. Before we get there, how are you?
Fine, other than fighting with the new chat feature on Twitter/X. I'm so over. We had this discussion before we got on, but I think it deserves another, moment, because I can't handle all of these like two-factor authentication things. Like, I shouldn't need to double-factor authenticate like me getting into every single account I own. Like, it's especially when you're making me make an account. If you're making me make an account, I don't care about it. Like, I just, it's infuriating. That's my boomer take of the day.
It's all good. I'm right there with you. We just wait till like, you know, all of the AI stuff gets so good that like all the, like the fakes, you're gonna have to authenticate if this is actually you talking right now, or if this is actually just AI Carmi is actually here with us today.
I know, it's her, or like, yeah, can you, I guess like we're gonna need it, because like you can't fake an AI face. I don't know, like, can't AI like not actually like recreate your face or something? I don't know.
It's gonna be problems though. It's only gonna get more fun from here, I think, is the moral of the story. Speaking of things that are really fun, let's talk about the Green Bay Packers. The Packers have lost two consecutive games, lost both of those at home, Panthers and Eagles. It's not currently going great. Let me start with just kind of your key takeaways for either this game or just kind of where Green Bay's at in general.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same conversation every week, right? Where we're like, what's wrong? Why? What? There's so many things that just aren't working for the Green Bay Packers. And I think this game in particular against Philadelphia was kind of the like, all right, do we actually need to press the panic button? Because it would be very Packers. We talked about it last week, very Packers to lose to the Panthers, but then win against the Eagles, right? Well, they didn't win against the Eagles and it looked disjointed. They shot themselves in the foot. Now, dealing with more injuries than they were previously when it comes to the offense in particular. And it's not one thing, which is kind of the frustrating part, but it's still, there are still things that are fixable, I think, on this team if they do it right, which obviously, I think of the example of like Elton Jenkins not being available. Like, I don't think that's a one-to-one fix. I think that there's going to have to be more done to account for his absence up front, and like there's already been a lot of shuffling up front, and I think that Matt LaFleur doesn't really understand that that's affecting the offensive line, and he's still trying to do things as if the offensive line is fully intact, and the way that he's play calling like is indicative of that. And I don't know, there's so many things, Andy, and it's the same conversation every week that we're just kind of trying to figure out, why isn't this incredibly talented roster with a lot of stability and all of the things on paper doing better?
It feels like there's some sort of, we're at like, you know, the Packers are at the doctor and they're showing us these different symptoms and we're like going through where it's like an episode of House and we're just trying to like rule things out like one at a time.
We need you, Lori.
Is it this? Like, is it? I think it might be this. And we're just kind of, the truth is, there's like a bunch of different things that are happening all at once. And it's not just one easy, unfortunately, it's not just one easy fix. And I like what you said too. It's not going to be easy. They're going to have to put in the work. And I think one of the interesting things about this week is, yeah, this would be a great time where if this was like a Thursday game where you've got like that extra, you know, few days baked in, or if this was like a bye week at this point in time, but they don't have that. Not only that, it's a short week. They have Monday Night Football. They go Sunday on the road. And I was thinking about this as well. Talked a little bit about this the other day, not only short week on the road, but I guarantee you Green Bay did some scouting and some study ahead for New York with Brian Daboll and Jackson Dart as the coach and quarterback. And all of a sudden they get to Tuesday thinking like, already, we already did some pre-work on this team where, you know, we should be okay. And all of a sudden, you know, things aren't going well in your own house. And now your upcoming opponent, where maybe it was looking like, you know, kind of status quo, now they, you know, add a whole lot of chaos to this, where it's now Jameis Winston and
Jameis Winston is the definition of chaos.
Yes, it's chaos for sure. So it's like they've also added a wrinkle into this. So it's not going to be an easy thing this week to just focus on themselves, get right, and figure out, you know, some of these solutions, unless they're doing it at warp speed, which is probably not the right way to do it either.
Yeah, I mean, well, they're going to have to, and I don't know, Matt LaFleur is going to have to get on an equipment box and write more on that plea sheet while it's happening. The other thing with this Giants team is someone who was just at the Giants-Bears game this weekend.
Yep.
That's a really good defensive front.
It is.
When you're talking about how you're having to shuffle your offensive line yet again, it's going to be something to contend with. I mean, I know the Giants aren't good this year, and obviously, you know, you don't have Brian Daboll gets fired, and it turns a team into chaos. It throws a team into chaos, and then again, you add the Jameis Winston element to it. But that doesn't change the fact that this is still a really good defensive front, one of the best in the league still, that's completely capable of making life really difficult on Jordan Love when you're not at full capacity up front. And that's only compounded if Matt LaFleur doesn't, I don't know if it's denial, I don't know if it's just, there's really no other choice at this point, but like the way that he's calling these games so far, it seems like he thinks that the offensive line is fine. And like, I point to all those first down runs. Like when I talk about getting Josh Jacobs more involved or wanting to still run the offense through Josh Jacobs, it wasn't necessarily like, okay, run on first down. I think they were averaging 3 yards per carry on first down runs, or maybe first and second down runs in that game against the Eagles. Like, then you're forcing Jordan Love into really bad situations by the time you get into third down. And we also have seen kind of this conservatism from Matt LaFleur, where he's not willing to go the extra down when, you know, in those fourth down situations, or he's very conservative when it comes to when he decides to punt. And now the defense isn't giving you the takeaways that they were last year, so you're not getting as many chances offensively. And so many of those things are being cut short. I mean, again, this is just a domino effect and kind of a compounding issue of, it's not any one thing, but when all of these things go wrong and keep going wrong, it's hard to like weed your way through that thicket, essentially.
I thought Aaron Nagler put it perfectly. It was like a week and a half ago, I think, where he said, you know, coach the team that you have, you know, don't coach the team that you want to have, coach the team that you actually have. And it feels like he's very set on this being, again, a run oriented run first team. We've seen on first down and second down, and it just isn't working that way. And I think this is one of the worst jobs that I've seen Matt do when it comes to adaptability. I think one of the strengths of his over the years has been his ability to adapt, of whether or not it's Jordan Love or Aaron Rodgers or even Malik Willis at quarterback. He's had a game plan that you can go into a game with and win with. And this year, it feels like he hasn't seen the vision of where this team needs to get to or what they need to be, or at least hasn't been able to get this team to execute what he wants his vision to be for this team. I guess it's maybe 6-1, half a dozen to the other, but either way, it's really interesting that, again, I'm with you. I think it's been far too conservative. We've seen the average depth of target on first down and second down, and even throughout the course of the game. So, I mean, and it was not.
Was it like 1.5 yards or something?
Yes,
like
it's
that?
Insane. It's absolutely insane. And again, I don't think that's where you want to be. It's so weird because I feel like it almost is like averaging out, but in all the wrong ways, where it sometimes in the beginning of the season, it felt like they were almost too aggressive, just like downfield, downfield, downfield. And then there's these other times where it's just like, no, we're not going to be aggressive at all. And everything has just been out of balance. There's no balance to anything. And I think that's, again, another huge symptom of what's going on here.
I think it's interesting because I think they're getting scared off of some of these downfield plays, but they're getting scared off because of things that, like, self-inflicted wounds. When you talk about like that long pass to Christian Watson that Jordan Love had that was called back because of the illegal formation. And like, I understand that it was a miscommunication because the way that play had been run before was a different formation. And you have these guys that are out of position because that wasn't how they practiced it, and this, that, the other. But I mean, you can't be then scared to throw downfield Like, it's not like you got intercepted or it was something that the defense was showing you that showed you that you can't throw downfield. It was a self-inflicted penalty that prevented that from working. Otherwise, that would work. And it's really kind of ironic that when you do get Christian Watson back, you're more conservative than ever. I'm like, the reason he's out there is to stretch the field. And you're not throwing to him. You're not incorporating that. And whether it's Jordan Love not getting to those reads or if it's just not built into those plays, I don't know. And I don't think there's any way to know, but like they need to be able to open this up a little bit more and utilize what they do have available. Back to your point of coach the team you have and coach who you have available. I mean, Jordan Love, yes, has taken a hit when it comes to his receivers and all of the injuries that they're dealing with. But if you kind of boil it down to the base, what you need at your base level to operate an offense, you have the guy that can stretch the field. You have at least one tight end that can cover the short to intermediate area. You do have a great running back who's capable of catching balls out of the backfield. You have guys at all three levels of this offense. And then you have a quarterback that should be more than capable of delivering. So I can't use injuries as an excuse right now when you still have the basics. You know what I mean?
No, I'm right there with you. You mentioned scared. It very much feels scared at the moment. You know, Matt said that, you know, scared money don't make money. It feels like they're playing with scared money. And right now it feels like they're so afraid of like what could happen. There could be an interception. Right. There could be a sack that stops the drive. There could be something but in the meantime, by being so conservative, you're stopping yourself. You're not making the defense stop you with those self-inflicted wounds and with being so damn conservative where you're constantly putting yourself in third and long situations, third and sevens, third and sixes, that you're stalling yourself out on your own. You're not even putting the pressure really on the defense to stop some of those plays down the field. I almost think they have to go almost aggressively in the opposite direction where it's like, you know what, if you throw a couple more picks down the field, or if you at least the other team had to earn it in that situation, go out swinging. And if they stop you, so be it. But along the way, you're probably going to put up, I don't know, a few more points than seven would be my guess along the way. So I don't know. It feels like they've got to change the mentality quite a bit here. We'll be right back. Hey friends, today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now the weather might be changing, but the feeling of being right never ever gets old. So keep the season rolling on Prize Picks by getting $50 in lineups instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Now it's time to start getting ready for week 11. Yes, week 11, where does the time go? As Green Bay travels to New York and a chance for Green Bay to show they can actually beat a bad team. This needs to be a big win for Green Bay, and I'm going with Jordan Love to have a starring performance to help get that big road win. Elsewhere in week 11, I'm going with big games from Ja'Marr Chase, Patrick Mahomes, and George Pickens. And here's the best part. Prize Picks is super simple. Just pick more or less on at least two player stats. If you get your picks right, you could cash in. And even better, how you play is completely up to you. If you want flexibility, choose Flex Play, where you can get paid even if one of your picks misses. And if you want the bigger payouts, go to the Power Play. No matter how you play, Prize Picks is a great way to put your takes to the test. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. I'm not sure about you guys, but it's a season for hosting a lot of holiday dinners, get-togethers, and big events, and all of that planning, cooking, and shopping can take a huge extra toll on my stress levels when there's already so much going on. That's why I leave the stress behind and rely on Omaha Steaks to help me prepare amazing meals for all of my family and friends this holiday season. And not to spoil some gifts for family members who may be listening, but I've definitely been picking up some Omaha Steaks as gifts, which makes holiday shopping super simple as well. The best part is that you can benefit with their Sizzle All The Way sale, which you can get 50% off. Yes, 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com. Plus, listeners get an extra $35 off with promo code PACKADAY at checkout. I'm actually hosting a birthday get-together this week, and the freezer is stocked with amazing steaks and burgers from Omaha, which is making things super simple to prepare and plan for. And if you haven't tried the food yet, it's beyond incredible. I can't recommend it enough. I especially want to shout out their grass-fed, grain-finished beef that has more marbling for exceptional flavor. Now, Omaha Steaks is a family-owned company with over 100 years of expertise in the meat industry. So don't miss out on this deal and save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code PACKADAY at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com with code PACKADAY.
It's such a flip of the switch from earlier in the season, like you mentioned, where we were talking about how we were okay with Jordan Love taking risks because that was the guy he is. That like that is that is the player that he is. And I'm wondering if, like, because I'm kind of racking my brain for like why the change up, why the switch up, especially when, you know, even though you have all these injuries to the offensive line, like you're still not acting like you have injuries to the offensive line necessarily. Although maybe that's part of, you know, having Jordan Love get the ball out quicker, but. My big thing was like, I wonder if the lack of defensive takeaways has essentially pared down the offense because they can't count on getting as many chances. And you can't, this is, I mean, I still think this is a defense that you can rely on. I mean, look at the pass rush, look at Micah Parsons. That has vastly improved over last year. I still think this is a defense worth trusting and still playing your game because to me, and I don't know if you feel like this too, Andy, but like I'm watching Jordan Love hesitate. I'm watching Jordan Love be kind of trepidatious in the pocket and not really seeing everything or being so, you can tell he's overthinking, like he's over processing. And I'm just kind of like, he threw off his back foot at one point during the Eagles game. And it made me realize where I was like, where has that been? I mean, granted, I think he was doing it maybe a little too much. At one point in his, you know, last year and even into the beginning of this season where you were kind of like, okay, Jordan, can you set your feet and please just like deliver the ball like normal? But when I saw that, I would like, it made me realize like I kind of jolted and I was like, wait, I haven't seen him do that in a really long time. And that's not Jordan Love. We love Jordan Love because of the fact that he's okay with taking risks. And you have a defense that is built to withstand those risks, regardless of how many takeaways they're getting. So use that. I don't like, that's where like, there's just kind of this disconnect that to your point is born out of conservatism.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't understand it. It feels like if there was ever a team again to maybe be like you said, with the defense that you have, maybe a little bit more aggressive, it really on both sides of the ball feels like it's this one. And it just feels like they've gone aggressively in the opposite direction with no really rhyme or reason for it. And with bad results to show for it. And even like when you were playing aggressive, it would be one thing if they were like playing aggressive earlier in the season and it led to a lot of turnovers. In the first 6 weeks, Jordan threw two picks, one every 3 weeks. It's the same that he's doing now. He's had one in the last 3 weeks. Like, I mean, to a T, you're not gaining anything by it. And again, you're almost like self-neutering. Like you're making it easier for opposing defenses, which is really crazy. And I'm with you, Jordan. Jordan can get into, we got a special guest.
He was dead quiet before I got on. And now that I feel like he knows when we're on camera and he's just like, but he wants his own. So I'm going to get it.
He understands the Packers frustrated. He's frustrated with the Packers.
He was going to say, I think he's just frustrated at the Packers.
Yeah, okay. I think so too. No, that's awesome. With Jordan, I do feel like he's a rhythm passer from time. And like, he just needs to get back in that. I thought this week was the most sort of unconfident and just eyes watching the rush a little bit. And again, 40% of the time he was pressured. I can understand why his eyes are dropping. I'm not even necessarily blaming him for that, but this is the first time.
It's not going to change against the Giants.
No, probably not. This is the first time though where it felt like, oh yeah, he's just a little skittish. He's seeing things in the pocket that maybe aren't there from time to time, watching the line and not maybe just running the play the way that it's supposed to and throwing with confidence. Even Matt LaFleur mentioned something about in his press conference on Thursday as we're recording this of, we just need to keep Jordan confident. He was, you know, praising Jordan for how great he's played, but then saying, we just got to make sure he stays confident. I think that's a piece of this as well, is just getting him back in rhythm and playing with that confidence.
Yeah, I think that's a huge part of it because clearly along the way he's lost it, and whether he's being kind of coached to not take as many risks or that's something going on with him that we don't know. Or again, like I said, maybe it's something to do with the defense and the fact that that's just not, they're not getting the takeaways and they just don't feel like they have as many chances offensively. But again, that's, if you're going to say it too, Matt, like, scared money don't make money. All right. Well,
back it up.
You can't say that and then play like you are. And I mean, the grain of salt with all of this is that the Eagles seem to have figured it out at this point. Like that game against the Packers, their four-man rush was nearly impeccable. It was near perfect. And you like, they got Nolan Smith back, right? And like that was one of those things where like their front seven is firing on all cylinders. And that's not, but like it's cold comfort because this is a team in the Packers that's supposed to contend for the conference with the Philadelphia Eagles. So even if you're going against the best defense in the conference, you should still come out with better results. And again, like this game against the Giants is, there's a lot teetering on it. And like I'm saying, I want people to realize how good this Giants defense is, and especially that defensive front. But again, like this is kind of a gotta have it, and you're going into a hostile environment with a team that could potentially get the we just fired our head coach bump, and you're going against Jameis Winston, which, yes, he's going to give you opportunities to get those takeaways, but he's also an extremely productive quarterback. And as someone who spent a lot of time with him in Tampa, it went overlooked, and rightfully so when you're committing that many turnovers. But he is capable of scoring points. He's capable of pushing the ball down the field. He's got a cannon of an arm, and it's just not accurate. So if you can't take advantage of that defensively, you're going to have some issues.
Yeah, very much so. The Giants, again, with that defensive front, are going to give Green Bay problems, and that offensive line is going to have to step up in a pretty significant way. Yeah. Jameis Winston, by the way, has had phenomenal numbers against Green Bay in his career, so that's another thing to kind of keep an eye out for. Just really quick, before we take a quick look at Packers-Giants, one of the reasons of many that I love having you on is you have a more national perspective on things as Packers fans. We, you know, get main character syndrome with just the Packers, and we have that lens that we look through it. As you're looking at this, you know, the Chiefs have lost four games. They're currently the Super Bowl favorites. The Bills have lost, just to the Dolphins in a very, very disappointing game. I personally look at the Chiefs and Bills and say, still think those are going to be two of the teams competing for this thing at the end. They'll figure it out. But when you look at your own team, you're like, oh, screwed, totally screwed. There's no coming back from this. As somebody on the outside looking in, is this a bump in the road for Green Bay? Is this a symptom of something larger? Are you more nervous, or are you feeling like, hey, there's a bounce back right around the corner?
I still feel like there's a bounce back. And I think that that's more of the perception, because everybody, I think, is very well aware that this is a great team with a lot of talent, and they have structured themselves in a way that's sustainable. And like, when I think about this division, despite the fact that it's the Bears and the Lions that are tied for first place, I still don't see the Bears and like the Vikings as viable as far as winning the division this year. And it, part of that has to do with like the way that the Bears have been winning. Obviously there's been a lot of turnover in Minnesota with JJ coming, you know, going out, coming back in. It's clearly, you know, he still needs to get going. And when you look at that, I still feel like it's either the Lions or the Packers division. And so if the Packers are still in it for the division, which is the best in football, then you're still in it when it comes to the NFC playoffs, whether that is as a division winner or as a wild card. I do think that there's still a thought process behind this team of like they're too stable and too good of an organization to just implode like that. It hasn't imploded by any means. I mean, I know, you know, two straight losses at home is hard to stomach, and it doesn't happen often with the Packers, but you're going to have to see a lot more dysfunction before I think people are going to be completely out on the Packers.
And hopefully that does not come to fruition, because that would be a very disastrous season. Speaking of which, locally there starts to be a little bit more of a buzz of Matt LaFleur being on the hot seat. He gets questioned in the press conference this week. Are you coaching for your job? Asked about, is he going to give a play calling? He smirked and said no. Kind of a national point of view, I saw a couple people, you know, like that start to get wind of this and are like, wait, what? Matt LaFleur? That's ridiculous. I saw Brett Collerman tweet something like that. I think it was maybe Orlovsky tweeted something like that. I saw a couple other ones as well. Where are you at with Matt and his job so far, and whether or not he is or should be on the hot seat in Green Bay? We'll be right back. Any anybody else feeling the financial squeeze right now? Everything just feels a little bit tougher, and I, for one, don't have the time to constantly monitor my finances and see where every little dollar and cent is being allocated. Thankfully, Chime understands that every dollar counts. That's why when you set up direct deposit through Chime, you can get access to fee-free features like free overdraft coverage, getting paid up to 2 days early, and so much more. I highly encourage that you take the time to learn more over at chime.com/packaday. Not only do we use Chime as a family, but I know multiple friends who use Chime and swear by it as well. The early payments, the free overdraft coverage, and access to over 47,000 free ATMs have not only been beneficial, but have come in huge in some really difficult situations. I didn't even mention the ability to get daily balance updates and real-time transaction alerts, which have helped shape our spending habits. So work on your financial goals through Chime today. Open an account in 2 minutes at chime.com/packaday. That's chime.com/packaday. Chime feels like progress.
Chime is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Spot me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Timing depends on submission of payment file. Fees apply at out-of-network ATMs. Bank ranking and number of ATMs according to U.S. News and World Report 2023. Chime checking account required.
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten on the show a bunch and been like, Packers fans are a little spoiled with Matt LaFleur, right? Like, this is something where, you know, he started his Packers tenure with all those 13 win seasons, and there's so many teams out there that just don't have the viability or the stability at the head coach position, and they change over, and you don't need to look outside the division for a team that may have just figured it out in Chicago. But I mean, Chicago would have killed for Matt LaFleur for the last however many years, and it's widely accepted that he is very, very good at his job. That being said, though, we have seen no matter how good a coach is, if he does not get over the hump after a certain amount of time, then all's fair in love, war, and football. I mean, I think back to Doug Peterson with the Eagles. I think back to Andy Reid with the Eagles, where they had success with those teams and then were out. I mean, like Doug Peterson in particular, like winning a Super Bowl and then still being out. Andy Reid couldn't get over the hump and in Philadelphia, and he was essentially then let go. Yep. Despite having a lot of success that just had fallen just short of that goal. And I feel like that's the territory where Matt LaFleur is starting to get into. Now, I don't think he's in it yet, and I don't think that his seat deserves to be hot this year. But I certainly understand a growing frustration of, hey, we've put together these teams. There was clearly a sense of urgency this offseason when you talk about that trade for Micah Parsons, or again, like going with a first round wide receiver for the first time in decades. Those things signal to me that this organization is trying to win right now, and they think that they can win right now. And if you don't take advantage of that opportunity and this window, that falls on the head coach inevitably. And fair or not, he's coaching for his job at that point. So while I don't think that, you know, especially from a national perspective, everybody understands that Matt LaFleur is a good coach, because he is a good coach. But this is a results-driven business, so it's kind of fair game after a certain amount of time.
Until a coach wins a Super Bowl, there will always be the cloud over their head of, can they win a Super Bowl? Can they be a Super Bowl-winning coach? And obviously, this is even a little bit more than that, but that's always going to dog a coach when they've had opportunities, they've gone to NFC Championship games, and haven't been able to get the job done. So that's going to be Matt's burden that he has to bear up until it's not, whether by winning it or whether by not being the Packers coach anymore. We'll see which one of those comes first. I know you got to get out of here really quick. Packers, Giants, one or two things you're looking for and you know, kind of keys to this game.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of touched on it a bunch of times already, but it's how this offensive line contends with the Giants defensive front. And I do think it is, all right, we've been kind of waiting for the dam to break on the takeaways, because the pass rush is there, and inevitably that should mean that you have some opportunities for takeaways. If you can't get takeaways against Jameis Winston and the New York Giants, like that can just instantly boost this team if the Packers are able to do it, and especially if they're able to get multiple. Like, I, you know, there's been one here, one there, one here, one there. I need multiple takeaways in this game if you're the Packers defense, and I have to imagine that Jeff Hafley is preaching that as well.
I would think so too. I mentioned those Jameis Winston stats earlier: 519 yards, 7 touchdowns, no picks, and a passer rating of 123.3 in 3 games against the Packers for Jameis Winston. So I'm going to go with he's due for a few turnovers against the Green Bay Packers, and hopefully that comes this week. Yeah, so that's a great way to look at it. It's a huge week in the NFC North. It's going to be very interesting. We get Bears, Vikings, Lions, Eagles, and then the Packers trying to bounce back against the Giants. We could have a totally different view on this division come next week, and we'll talk about it with you with Carmen next week as well. Carmen, I can't thank you enough. Thank you so much for your time. What would you like to plug on the way out?
Just that my dog's a puppy, so...
He is welcome anytime.
Forgive him.
He is welcome anytime.
Thank you. Just Carmi V on all the socials. That's where you can keep up with everything I'm doing.
Go follow her at Carmi V. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL. That's going to do it for us today. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.